right, we are in lesson 11, and I think we're on question 4. I think I went back and listened to it. So question 4 of lesson 11, let me find my cursor here. So question 4, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So, question is, how do we come to understand and enter into all that God has given us? So, what would be my first answer to this, if you know me? How do we enter into this?
Let's not know you very well.
Nobody knows me. I'm feeling suddenly very alone.
Abiding in Christ.
What was that? Abiding?
Faith. That's what you want. What you want to say.
Thank you, JD. By faith. And let's see. Debbie is in the back, probably near the picture. Faith in the facts are like tracks in the train and all that good stuff. I don't have it in front of me now. So it's the
if you ever got a tattoo, you should get the proper tattoo.
Well, I could probably get it down here in Florida, but I don't have the actual one, so I'd have to come back and get it there. So
okay.
I think I'm going to have to put a thing either on my phone or on my computer so I can actually get that. But, I'm afraid if I actually knew what that said every time. I don't know. So, anyway, it's faith. So, but what is behind or what it says, what is behind or undergirds our faith? What is we can have faith, but what is behind that, our faith?
Is it the assurance of the Spirit?
It's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, we've just discussed this and all this. The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit. Remember how we looked at that He intercedes with our prayers? And, you know, and actually it was kind of interesting that God searches the Holy Spirit's mind in us. Remember we looked at all that, and it is the Holy Spirit that convinces us or convicts us of all that is true about us in Christ. So, those are the things like Lewis Berry Chafer's 33, 34 things. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces us of that, all that's true about us. So Whiteout had it this way. But the testimony of the Spirit goes further than the assurance of sonship. Let us read another verse. And this is the verse that we went over. Now that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Here the full treasure house of God's gifts of love are thrown open to us. And as we in wonder gaze at one and another, the Spirit assures us that they're all ours. We know the things that are freely given us to us of God. We understand them and have full assurance that they are ours. And have the full assurance that they are ours. So, you know, I kind of went back on this one in our faith class. I remember, you know, just thinking about this, and I think I talked to Mike a little bit about this, that what is it, if you, in the faith class, if you just pick up one or two of the things that Lewis Berry Chafer has on us, some of those truths, and there's so many of them, and I've said I've kind of got all these notes, sometime I'll bring it out in a message at some point about faith and all the things that are expressed in the scriptures about us. And the thing I think I thought about is, what if you just picked up one or two of those things and really the Spirit just convinced you how that would change your life? And that's, you know, actually, we went to Davis's church this morning. And he was going on First Thessalonians, and he brought up the point. It was very similar to what he's saying here. He says, "Do you really understand, appreciate, and not really the feelings, but the assurance that we have in Christ? Do you? I mean, the end point, that we have this assurance. We will step into eternity and be face to face with Christ. What in the world can overpower that?
I would say the lack of faith overpowers it.
That's it. And that's where, you know, again, coming into, if you really understand what the truths are about us, you can overcome the world. I didn't have to pull that up, actually. It was in one of the, let me see if I can get this pulled up here real quick. Sorry about this. Maybe faster to do it on my. Oops. Just 1 second, because it was in my reading of this week. It was right before some of the verses we're going to look at.
Well, while you're looking, I have a question.
Okay.
This verse says that we've received the Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we have received him is that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So our faith has to be based in fact. We got to know the facts first, correct?
Donna, grab the picture behind you. Faith and the facts are, faith comes, yeah. You know, so, you need the facts first.
All right. So the Spirit of God is about the business of revealing, showing us through God's word what is ours all the time. I think that the hindrance is the fact that we either are hesitant to believe what he says, or we try to base our faith on whether we've experienced it or not, and whether it is a reality in my life as opposed to somebody else, or just, what do? Just take him at his word?
Ultimately, that's what you do, but that's through the Holy Spirit, the working on us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be just us doing that. You know, it's got to be, and that's what this whole class is about, the work, you know, of the Holy Spirit in us. And the verse I came across when I was reading, I was in this, as I'm doing my dailies, it's 1 John 5:4. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yeah.
Who overcomes the world? And it's by what? Believes, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one who overcomes the world. And as I was, you know, looking at all these, I kept thinking about that in our faith class, about how Mike, you and I talked about that. If you just, any of those one things that the Holy Spirit convinces you of, that's true of you, that Lewis Berry Schaefer has, those things are true of you the instant you believe, that changes you. It has to.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's where the one who overcomes the world is the one who believes, who has faith in all that's true about us. And when I read through the scriptures, there's so many things that God tells us that is true about us beyond what Lewis Berry Schaefer says. There are just so many things, and it's all about faith, which is trust in what God has said that's true about us. And that is the thing that I just, you know, how you instill that in people. It has to be the Holy Spirit that really convinces you that once you have faith in what God tells us, we can overcome anything, overcome the world. That's where our peace, our rest, all of that comes from, is faith in what God tells us true about us. It's, you know, the message this morning when the pastor was saying, you know, do you really understand the assurance or the peace that you have in the end point of our lives, the assurance that we have? And I mean, does that make you live your life differently, knowing that God's in control and the end point is we're face to face with him for eternity? and his love will never end for us.
I'm curious, Courtney, was there any mention of the growing process of that? Because there's faith in the facts, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's the sanctification side of things, where that assurance that you mentioned, are you assured, completely assured, just how that sanctification process works? Because that conviction continues not just around your sin, but it goes on throughout your Christian life.
Well, that's the whole growth part of it, the sanctifying or the growth. And that's why, you know, I think about this, and it's like, why can't we just, by faith, take in all of it?
Yeah. Away and just be done. Like, ready.
Why do I have to, you know, walk through the 34 things? I mean, maybe get one of them. And it's hard to answer that question, really, but it comes down to faith. And I think it's still that you have to grow up. When I was 5 years old, I couldn't do calculus.
Yeah. Still can't do calculus.
Well, yeah.
I'm not an engineer. So.
Okay, yeah, the engineer. Okay, let's go to algebra.
Okay, no. Yeah, step it down a bit.
That's why I mentioned abiding. Abiding is that process of
abiding. Yep.
Of growing in the knowledge of what he's giving us.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's right. And that's the abiding part, is where you're growing in that position. I mean, your position, your condition starts growing to where your position is. And that's really the key, is that I don't think you can absorb everything that's true about us right away. I think there's just so much to it that it's a growing process, that abiding, as you say, but the abiding is over a lifetime. And it comes back to what we were saying last week, is that it's the relationship and the time we spend with Christ, because that's who our life is in Christ. And as we spend more time to where, as last week, we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, we start to understand all these truths about us, because what's true about us is true in Christ. And it's just time. But it's like, the more we spend with him and the more the Spirit convicts us, that's where we have the peace, rest, comfort, and our growing, abiding in Christ and that intimacy with Christ. So I think that's just one of those things where I wish we could all understand everything immediately. and the Lord convinced us of everything in one fell swoop. But that would be like, yeah, doing calculus at age 2. It just doesn't happen. It's a growing process. And I think as the Spirit works on us, and this goes to the whole focus of the class, it's the Spirit that convinces us of these things. You know, we're not going to convince ourselves. It's the Spirit convincing us of the facts that are brought out by God in his word, the living word. So, I think about that. I wish we could take it all in one shot, but we can't. But the growing process is exciting. As you grow and as you rest in his word, it just gets better and better, sweeter and sweeter, stronger and stronger, more peace, more rest. You know, in as the trials come, it's I don't want to say not easier, but the ability to be able to rest in him is based on a relationship with him. So when the trial comes, we can rest. So
I do this a lot with the Zoom calls for work. When I see somebody writing a lot, like Jim is, I start to get curious. What are you thinking over there?
I was just thinking, and I was writing, learning to trust God is a process that takes a lifetime as the trials get more difficult, because God is going to give us more difficult trials, and it's harder and harder to learn to trust God in those more difficult trials.
Mm.
You know, just this past week, I've dealt with anger and disgust at at the whole system that God has approved here on this earth, you know, with Satan being the ruler over the earth. And, you know, Satan can only go as far as God allows him to. But still, you know, it's just the whole process of God allowing a precious 5-year-old who is loved by his parents and all those who knew him to go to heaven this early. I mean, it's just, if you look at it in the flesh, it does not seem reasonable. It doesn't seem fair. But, you know, I have to trust God in this, that it is his will and that it is for our good. And, you know, if this would have happened, 20 or 30 years ago, I would have had a much bigger struggle with it and probably would have lost all interest in God for a while, you know. But he's given it to me at this time when I'm stronger in my faith. And as we grow in faith, so the trials get harder and harder. And, you know, it's like in The Hungry Heart this past week, these guys were saying that God, you know, at the beginning, God immediately answers your prayer and does it positively, you know. But as you go along, God leaves you for a while, and he doesn't answer your prayers right away. It takes a little time to answer the prayers, and you have to trust in those times as you grow. And it's harder to trust over the period of time, but this is what it requires, you know. And this is the process of spiritual growth.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously sometimes not easy. You know, and as we talked a little bit about that even with Ethan, you know, the positives of it from his standpoint is his, you know, very medically challenged body is no longer. He's got a new body. And, it a lot of these things that happen like that, it comes down to, you know, this is testing of our faith. Do we believe that? You know, where he has a new body, he's face to face with him. And I think of the things where, you know, we talked a little bit, Jim, about this, that God had him accomplish everything he wanted to do through him. And, it, you know, the things he wanted, Ethan to do, if he's done with all the things he wanted him to accomplish, you know, it's time to take him home. And that's, you know, if you look at it and you have the faith that is, and it's very tough. I don't mean to minimize this at all. I can't even imagine that, you know, sitting here with a new granddaughter, you know, that taking away, that would be incredibly tough. But the underlying piece is knowing that God's in control of it and that, you know, he has, we're talking about that on the way back. The pastor down here is going through multiple myeloma. And, you know, the days that he has written for him, you know, it's once he's done with what he has for him to accomplish, he goes home. And that, you know, for me too, I, you know, the thought of, you know, as Paul, to die is to gain, you know, I think there are things that he's given us in scripture that gives us peace, even through these trials. And I, again, I don't want to minimize that, but I think of, he's free of that body, just like Norm, when Norm went home to be with the Lord. Can you imagine that after the lifetime that Norm had, that he's now in a body that is perfect? Oh my goodness. You know, so there are things that they've given us in scripture that are really meant to comfort us. But each one of these is a growing experience. And I think the Holy Spirit is the only one who can convince us of these truths. You know, and to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what I always rest on. That even, and kind of in the prayers, you know, underlying all of the trials and the suffering, by faith we have a peace that surpasses all of that. And that's what, you know, my prayer for you, Jim, is that you have that peace that God is in control of it, knows what he's doing, and rest in that, even though through these trials, it is a growing process. So, I can't even imagine what you've gone through. Again, sitting here with a granddaughter, but if he takes her away or anybody, I rest in the fact that God is in control, and that gives me that peace. So, all right, moving on. Number five, question five. Read 1 John 5:17-13. This is why I kind of read that one section of scripture, which is right above this, which was the one who overcomes. So I'm going to start in verse 5, 1 John 5:7-13. And then what is the spirit, the water, and the blood persuade us about? So who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who overcame by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Incredible section there. So first, let's define terms. What or who does the water and blood represent?
Life and death.
Who?
Well, water is always a term used for the life of the believer, right? So I was just answering partially that question. The blood obviously stands for the death. When there's no blood, there is no life. But that's a new life. There's a new life. It's not the same life. So I'll let the class kind of chime in on that, but I'll give a foundation to the answer that I think.
I phrased it in a way. Who?
Well, the Lord Jesus, obviously.
Yeah. If from verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So who of this is Christ? And then the Spirit's pretty evident. Obviously, that's the class. So it's water and blood who was represented by Jesus Christ. Interestingly enough, I said in verse 8, it states that the Spirit, water, and blood are all in agreement. So the question is, what are they in agreement about?
The solution.
So what is the solution?
I'm going to let somebody else answer that.
The truth about who Christ is.
Okay. It's a testimony, right? So, Joey, I think you're onto it there.
Yeah, so question is, what are they agreement about? Which also gets to the question, what do they persuade us about?
Believing in the Son of Man to have eternal life.
Mm-hmm. That's the certainty that we get in the end of this. So basically the witness of the Holy Spirit is the truth. He gives us the truth. With water, his work in regeneration. And the blood is Christ's work for us. So those are the three sections of that. And he unites his witness to give us complete certainty of that eternal life. So Christ and the Spirit are the ones that give us this certainty. And so it's interesting that, you know, that they're in complete agreement. And the agreement is that we have assurance or eternal life. So is that clear?
Courtney, it's interesting. It says these three are in agreement. It makes it sound like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I was wondering if maybe the water in this particular meant the Spirit of the Father was in agreement with the Holy Spirit and the Son.
Yeah, you know, the only thing is in verse 6, this is the one who overcame by water and blood, and this is Jesus Christ. So it's ultimately they're all one, the Trinity, so they're all in agreement. But it's interesting in this one, and that was the thing that kind of caught my eye was, yeah, they're in agreement. And whether it's the Father in this one or it's really Christ and the Holy Spirit, they're in complete agreement. And the complete agreement is new life in Christ and eternal life in Christ. It's, you know, Holy Spirit that gives us the truth. The water is the regeneration. And then Christ's blood is the one that paid for it.
What if you said the water might be the Word of God?
Yeah. And there's different interpretations on the water and what the water is. You know, it's cleansing. You know, we also talked about that with, I think, Mike, when you were teaching, it was kind of interesting about the blood cleansing. You know, is the blood cleansing or the water cleansing? And, you know, I always thought water is the cleansing, blood is the payment. So, but I think you, in your lesson, I think you were talking about how blood is cleansing. And I think Ingrid came up with, I think there's a hymn or something. I can't remember what she said, which one. I don't know if she's still on or not, but nothing but the blood or something. I can't remember which one of the hymns. But on this one, it seems like, and right, this from right out brought this out, that, you know, the witness was the Holy Spirit of truth. Water was the regeneration. Blood was Christ's word for us. Uh-huh. So, and again, I think the interesting fact is they're all in agreement, and the agreement is eternal life in Christ. So, let's move on. See if we can get question 6. What always is John's purpose in writing to believers?
So that we can know right now. With absolute certainty that we have life, it's eternal, and it's in the Son.
Yep. And we get that in several different ones. 1 John 5:13, in the one we just read, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? So that you may know that you have eternal life. And then in John 20, 30 and 31, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in you may have life in his name. So, again, that's it. It's to tell us of Christ and to give us that assurance. And I always remember I think it was in the Romans class where in Neil's book where he gives the timing of the books. They're not chronologically laid out. And John is written after all of Paul's epistles. So what Paul is really doing, and it's very different than all the other gospels, John's gospel is all about Christ's deity and that he is the Son of God. So he's writing that specifically, I think, to back up all of Paul's epistles, and that what Paul is saying is true because Jesus is the Son of God. And so John is written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that in believing in him you may have life in his name. That's his purpose. So when we see 1 John and John, all these, that's really what he's doing. Is backing up what Paul had in his epistles, that Christ is who he said he was.
So what is eternal life?
Eternal life?
Now what is it?
Life in Christ. Christ is eternal.
What did the Lord Jesus say it was?
To know him.
Yeah, and the one who sent him.
Yeah, and the one who sent him, yes. So that's eternal life. And, you know, again, when you get into all the identification, we've been placed into him, and that's where our eternal life is, because Christ is eternal and we've been placed into him.
So at some eternal life has a lot to do with knowing epinosis, the Father and the Son.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a commodity in a jar in your kitchen. Dynamic. I think John is writing that how do you know that you have eternal life? Because you know the Son.
Yeah, and I think the important part, like I said, is the fact that this is all after John or Paul's epistles. Paul's epistles tell us about our identification, our placement into Christ. Yeah. You know, Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I live. You know, Christ lives in me, you know, and the 2 Corinthians 5:17, where we're new in kind. All these things are telling us about we're new, we have eternal life, we're placed into Christ now, and by definition, that's an eternal life. So I think, yes, knowing Christ and the Father, that's eternal life, is to know him and the Father. But beyond that, it's we are placed into Christ. Christ is eternal, and that's our life.
Yeah, and I think that 1 Corinthians 2, verse back in question 4, that we receive the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, what are the things? The things are Christ himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's getting back a little bit to what we're saying, you know, the intimacy that we have with
right.
God is based on our position in Christ. And the Colossians 3:3, we're hid in Christ in God. And that's the eternal life is placed, the fact that we're placed in Christ in God. And that, to me, is the definition of eternal life. So again, that's a lot of these are just the eternal life part is it's all related to whose life we have.
Well, there's so much that goes into understanding. And I think John was right that you may know you have eternal life, but believing that you would have eternal life in his name, it really boils down to knowing him and realizing that the knowing him has to do with the oneness that you are with him, because that's what it's really is trying to, what the Spirit is trying to explain to us is this union with the Son of God, resurrected Christ, that we have. And that union and that knowledge, especially that knowing him, is what eternal life really is. Well, you can't know that without the Spirit. You would never know that.
Right. No. And that's the thing, you know, first you need the facts, and then the Spirit is one that convinces you of those facts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's you know, we don't come up on this ourselves, you know, it's God's living word revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, JD, I've got a couple more. We got three down. Maybe I can get through it quicker next week if I'm personally there. I'll try and blow through it a little faster.
Got it.
Well, we derailed you a little bit today. It's not just your cadence. We know that you struggle with that problem.
Thank you. I resemble that remark.
Just kidding. All good.
I think last lesson you had about a four lesson week. I think so.
Yeah, probably so.
I think I feel like I'm in good company. So.
Uh huh. You are.
All right. Well, why don't we close? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again, just the ability to wherever we're at, to just come together in fellowship around your word. We just thank you again for who we're studying, the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling in each and every believer. Has the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the life that we have in Christ. And as we're just looking at this, eternal life is to know your Son And that is such an exciting journey. As we've also, just as we've gone through this class, just the growth and the spiritual journey that you have us on. As we grow, as in 2 Peter 3:18, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the growth and the maturity that we get as our condition begins to start emulating our position as we grow in that grace and knowledge. And just the fact that you have an eternal love and the intimacy that you have with each and every one of us, that anytime, any place, anywhere, we can come before you and call you Father, Daddy, and you hear us and you have an intimate relationship with us. And just the caring, the eternal caring for each and every one of us. And that gives us, again, what the world cannot offer, peace, rest, and comfort. So we thank you for the position that you have placed us in Christ, hidden Christ in you, Father. And what a joy that gives us. So just pray as he gives the message. And again, just prepare the hearts to receive it. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.